crowd here today, Mark?
Okay.
Good to see a full crowd today. Wednesday night we talked about five plagues. These were, I guess the first four you would more call them agitation factors. Those last five that we talked about the other night began to get into the heart of the matter, began to destroy the food supply, inflict considerable pain on individuals and so forth, as we saw disease coming on the cattle, killing all of them, boils on man, the hail mingled with fire, and the locusts, so forth, that destroyed basically the rest of the crops, fruits, and so forth. During that time, we saw Pharaoh offer at least four excuses, or compromises, we won't say. He talked about wanting them to sacrifice in the land, not going very far. Well, just let the men go. Well, let everybody go except let your herds and cattle stay here. But that was not be. Because Moses, by this time, focused on what God wanted him to do. That was to bring the children of Israel out of bondage. So as the darkness was over the land for 3 days, darkness so thick you could feel it, Pharaoh calls Moses in again. End of chapter 10 says, get out of here. Moses refused to compromise. He said, get out of here, and I don't want to see your face anymore, and if I do, I'm going to kill. Moses said, I will see thy face again no more. Last verse of chapter 10. However, it appears that Moses had something else to say before he left, though. I think we have to skip down to verse 4, probably. Pick up there and see what Moses has to say to Pharaoh before he leaves. Also notice in verse 8 how he felt as he left. But he talked about the fact that at midnight, and I don't think he's saying this particular midnight, but what's going to happen is going to be at midnight, but based on what we see in the next couple of chapters. But he's saying at midnight, you know, God's going to come through. He's going to kill the firstborn, beginning with Pharaoh, all the way down to the lowest person, and also of the beast of the field. There's going to be a great cry that goes up like you've never seen before, or will you see any like it anymore. Strange thing, he says, is not anybody going to be upset with the Israelites. That against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against a man or beast. Reason, that you may know how the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And he indicated, he had told Moses back in verse 3, that he was going to be considered very great among the people of Egypt, beginning with Pharaoh's servants down again to the common folks. He says, those people, they're going to come and bow down themselves before me. They're going to say, get out of the land. Says, and Moses left in hot anger, or very great anger. So Pharaoh, I imagine, thought, well, that's the end of the matter. However, if you go back to verse 1, Moses knew there was going to be at least one more plague. And after that particular plague, says God had told him, he will let you go, and when he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. He's not just going to let you go 3 days into the wilderness. You're going to be gone. You're going to be able to carry everything with you. They're actually going to throw you out of the land. And it's not just going to be a bad throwing you out. Verse 2 said, this is what we've talked about before. Verses 2 and 3, God's going to give you favor, and you have everybody borrow everything they can. He specifically mentions there silver and gold, but if you go over to chapter 12 in verse 36, when they actually went out, Verse 35 indicates raiment again. We've noticed this before. Jewels of silver, gold, and raiment. Verse 36, the King James Version says, so that they lent unto them such things as they required. But whatever they needed, these people were going to be willing to give it. See that? And again, the words, and they spoil the Egyptians. So, Moses goes out, and now he's had his say with Pharaoh. But he's going to go back as we get into chapter 12. He's going to begin telling the children of Israel, there are some preparations that you need to make before we leave the country. So he begins to talk to them about a new beginning. Heard that before lately? Change? It's going to be a new beginning. He says this particular month is always going to be the first month in your calendar year. Let's go out and talk to the congregation, and in the next several verses, he tells Moses what you are to speak, and of course, we'll see him doing that. But he says, on the 10th day of this month, put up a lamb, every household, unless that household is very small. And he said, then adjacent households can share this. He said, put that lamb up, keep it until the 14th day. And on the 14th day, at evening, then everybody is supposed to kill that particular animal. Verse 5 talks about the type of animal. Again, the lamb without blemish. 1 year old, and says you can take a sheep or a goat. But they are to kill it that night, and they're to put the blood on the side post, above the doorpost. You're to eat that particular animal in the house that night. And you're going to roast it, according to verse 8. It's got to be roasted. And verse 9 specifically says it cannot be cooked with water. It has to be roasted. And you're to eat it with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. And if there's anything left over next morning, got to burn it. Now, getting them ready to move out quick. Remember now, he's saying on the 14th day at night, you got to roast it, you got to eat it, so you better have your clothes on, your shoes on, your staff in your hand. And verse 11 says, eat it in haste. You got to be ready to go. Pause. Verse 12, he says, because the Lord would pass through the land at midnight. He would execute judgment against the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and the gods of Egypt, because I am the Lord. So, then he talks about the reason for putting this blood on the doorpost and so forth, so that the death angel, we refer to it as the death angel, verse 23 refers to it as the destroyer, but that would be so that the plague would not come upon these people as it did the land of Egypt. Goes ahead and talks about it being a memorial associated with this thing. It would be a feast. Verse 14 indicates it's not going to be something that you can do if you want to or not. That it's going to be an ordinance forever. And if we were to go over to chapter 34 and verse 18, we would see that the Feast of Unleavened Bread was a commandment. It was an ordinance that was to be kept. During that time, it would be a 7-day feast. They would eat unleavened bread for 7 days. Verse 16 said, on the first day and on the 7th day, not be able to do any work, except that which every man must eat. You can eat on those days, but you cannot do any work. And again, he talks in verse 18 specifically about the day and the time. It will be in the first month on the 14th day, beginning at even. You will eat that unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at even. So it's very specific about what you can do, what you can't do, the exact times, and so forth. So there's no doubt as to how God feels about His commandments. He wants them to be carried out just so. Bill, go ahead. No. That's right. Yeah. Bill points out that couldn't they even be any leaven in the house? If they did eat anything that was leaven or whatever, they would be cut off. Very serious consequences for not following the letter of the law. Okay, then beginning in verse 21, Moses actually goes back to the people and calls the elders together, tells them basically the things that God has said about this particular thing. The details are not given, but there's a couple of three details that are given that we didn't see before. Tells them exactly what to use as they put this blood on the doorpost. Verse 22, says you take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that has been poured out into a basin, track it against the lintel, sides, and so forth. Also, he says, none of you shall go out of the door of the house until morning. Whenever you've done this, and you've got the food and so forth inside, and you're eating it and so forth, don't go out. Don't go out till the morning. Because when that destroyer comes by, he's going to pass over that particular door. Now, goes ahead and tells these people again the seriousness of this thing and the reason why they are to observe this feast. Again, he points out in verse 24, it's supposed to be an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. So it's something they're going to be doing. Because he says, when you get into the land that God had promised you, your children ask, why? Why are we doing this? He said, then you'll be able to tell them, verse 27, it is the sacrifice of the Lord, of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the house of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. As the people bowed and worshiped and went away and did as Moses had and Aaron had commanded them. I think we do too, Bill, and let's just skip over real quick to a couple of verses in the next chapter. If you look at verse 9 and also verse 16, chapter 13, he's talking primarily there about sanctifying the firstborn and so forth. But the point he makes in those is that it shall be a sign unto thine hand for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. Verse 16, it shall be a token upon thine hand for frontlets between thine eyes, for by the strength. So it's something that something we have to keep focused on. We got to know what God wants us to do, and then we've got to pass it on to them. Points well taken. I think a lot of us have failed not passing on why God wants us to do, or what he wants us to do. But very specific here, and particularly in chapter 13. This is something that these parents have to do, have to keep it so that they know and can pass it on to their children. Other comment. Okay, so he begins then in verse 29. Seems like it is now ready. The midnight that he had talked about back in chapter 11 must have been the end of the 14th day, the midnight after the 14th day, because these people are ready to go. But it said at midnight, God came and he smote the firstborn as he had promised, all the way down even to those who were captive in dungeon. There was that great cry, came forth like it had never been heard before, because there was not one house where there was not one person dead. Pharaoh didn't waste any time, this particular situation. Verse 31, he says, call for Moses and Aaron by night, because they had gotten up during the night, according to verse 30, and saw that they had a firstborn dead. So he called and he said, get out of here, away from my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go and serve, say, verse 31, serve who? The Lord. Maybe at this particular moment in time, Pharaoh understood the Lord. not some god, one of your gods or whatever, but serve the Lord, as ye have said. And also take your flocks, your herds, Isha, and as ye have said, gone. Boy, he makes a strange request, doesn't he? Look at the end of verse 30. Don't just go and serve the Lord yourself. Bless me also for a split second at least. Pharaoh understands who God is. He even wants Moses to bless him. These Egyptians, they're doing just exactly what God had told Moses they would do. They're urging these people. They're saying, get out, get out. Go with haste, because we all be dead men. So the children of Israel, they are ready to go. They've got their clothes, their shoes. They're ready to move out, just like God had said. They even have to take the dough that's unleavened. Had time for any of that to leaven? Because he said, don't have any leaven in the house during that particular time. So he said, they take that out, bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. We'll see that they use that in just a little bit. But here it is, a summary again. These children of Israel had borrowed everything. They had basically spoiled. They had taken all the wealth out of the land of Egypt as they go out. And we see that they are traveling now. They've been staying up. It refers to the city of Ramesses, one of the cities that supposedly they had built for Pharaoh. Now they go down to Succoth on their first day's journey out of the country. There's about 600,000 men, says, besides children, and generally that would mean at least 600,000 women. So we're talking about a great multitude of people. In addition to that, a mixed multitude of people, flocks, herds, and very much cattle. So there's a tremendous drove of people and animals going out of the land. And here's what I talked about. They have to bake this unleavened bread because they didn't have any. They had not prepared any food, according to verse 39. Didn't have time because they were driven out of the land, thrust out of the land. So here they are for the next few days eating unleavened cakes that they had made from this dough that they carried out of the land of Egypt. Look back and reiterates again. Remember how God had promised to Abraham, or told Abraham, that his people would be in a strange land. They would be afflicted for about 400 years. Here it is, and then they would come out. Here we see God saying they were there around 430 years. Well, this 430 years is from the time Jacob and his people came into the land, and the 400 refers to the actual years of the affliction of the sky. Point. It's basically the end of the story that he promised to Abraham. That particular part of it has now come to pass. As they went out from the land of Egypt, and it will not be much observed unto the Lord. For this is the night of the Lord to be observed. All the children of Israel. He pauses briefly. Be a part of this difference. That there shall be no stranger, I'll be allowed the heat of it, and hired a hireling. But if you have bought a servant, and that servant has been circumcised, be along with the children to be able to eat this particular sacrifice. So a stranger or someone you just hired, not allowed to eat, but an Israelite or a servant who's been bought and circumcised. Sums up chapter 12 by saying, thus did all the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. Came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. The little phrase there, so did they, caught my eye. Compared to what? See, a few chapters down the road, they promised, we will do. Yet, they did not. Comments up to this point? Yeah. Bill's referring back to the comment made in Genesis chapter 6 about Noah. God had told him how he was to build the ark and so forth, and then he did all that the Lord had commanded. So here we are, same situation. It had to be an application. At this particular moment, unfortunately, things are not going to go all that good in the days that follow. They're going to forget who brought them out, so forth, and begin to rebel. Makes a point that his name would be glorified or magnified throughout all the world. So, not just, as you say, it's not something that was just affecting Egypt and the children of Israel, but this was something that's going to have effect throughout the entire universe. So he severed it. He said, darkness here, light here. Comments. About else. Okay, chapter 13. Some of the things in chapter 13 are reiterations, I guess, of what we have seen. He talks a lot about sanctifying the firstborn of the people and also of the animals and so forth. And again, giving very specific reasons why doing these particular things or why he wants these particular things done. And some of the things we talked about earlier as we shipped over there, when they were to observe the unleavened bread and so forth, as he talks about verse 6 and 7, feast. Verse 9, he points out very clearly. Verse 8, show your sons in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came out of Egypt. It's to be a sign, an ordinance that would be kept year after year after year. One particular interesting comment I saw down in verse 13, talking about an unclean animal. You can keep it, provided you redeem it. Not just supposed to keep it for your own profit. You can redeem it with a lamb, but if you don't redeem that unclean animal, that donkey, then you got to kill it. Break its neck. Talks about the firstborn of man, and thy children shalt thou redeem. Because we will see what's involved in this redemption process. There's a price that's to be paid. So, because the firstborn belongs to the Lord, you have to do something to satisfy, to redeem that individual, that child, back. So, again, telling them, as all these things happen, be a token on thine hand, frontless between your eyes, because it was the strength of the hand of the Lord that brought these people out of Egypt. Kind of shifts gears down in verse 17. Talks a little bit about the path that these people would take and the reason that God leads them in that particular direction. obvious to see that if they were here, came out of Egypt, and they were going to the promised land, be very easy just to cut across. That's the short way. But there was a problem along this area in particular. From studying later on, the Philistines were not easy folk, giants and so forth. But it says a lot of people out in that area, if you bring a group of people who have been in bondage, haven't had any military training or anything, and you carry them across there and they run into a situation where they've got to have war, first thing they're going to do is turn around and go back. That's what he's saying. He says, I didn't lead them in this direction here. I carried them down here basically to a, he's going to carry them down to a safe haven, basically. Prepare these people to become his nation. So that's one thing God does for them very quick. That lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led them through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. So that was God's plan. Verse 19 points out something that was to happen. As the book of Genesis closed, Joseph, as he talked to the people there, says in verse 24, Joseph said unto his brethren, as I die, God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, put in a coffin in Egypt. So he's been dead now some 300 years or so. But Moses and the children of Israel remember what Joseph had made them swear to. They do carry his bones up as they go out of the land. So they go on down a little bit beyond, still going to the south, to a location down here. That's kind of where our this particular episode ends. They're on the edge of the wilderness. God is staying with them. Today he provides leadership through a cloud. By night he has a pillar of fire that stays before them. Verse 22, it's up pretty well. Took not away the pillar of cloud by day, now the pillar of fire by night. God has promised to be with these people. He's the one that's leading them out. He's providing them direction. We'll see as we get into the next chapter, not only protection, not only direction, but protection as the people began to pursue. Pharaoh's heart was not soft very long. We'll see as we get into the lesson Wednesday night. He may have had that moment where he says, referring to the Lord, not your God or your Lord, but the Lord, asking Moses to bless him. He's going to change his mind pretty quick as we comments. Kind of knew this in a hurry today, but I didn't know how. There's a lot of material there. I didn't know whether we were going to get through it or not. There's a lot of material from here on through the end of the book, and are going to have to hasten. Dogs are over there just chomping a bit, ready to go. But I think we've got a plan that's going to carry us on through. So we'll be looking at 14, 15, and 16. We'll get up to chapter 20. I've got material prepared. 21 through 23 is kind of a section where it goes into an awful lot of laws and so forth, dealing how they dealt with one another and property and so forth. Take a lot of time. I've got some information on that. Chapter 24, they ratify the law. Chapters 25 through about 31, Moses is up into the mountain receiving more details of the law. Look at that specifically, but we'll move on to chapter 32 through 30, where they break the law, taken back as God's people. We will have one lesson. We'll talk about tabernacle, all the furnishings of the tabernacle, how the priests are to be dressed, and so forth. One where I've tried to summarize about 20 or 25 pages having to deal with sacrifice. That's kind of where we'll be going here to the middle part of our part of it. Appreciate your comments. Good comments today. Powerful stuff here. Focus to the power of God and how He can take care of His people, and He never forgets His promises. There are several things in here I didn't point it out, but over and over it says, as promised. Promise to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Land that He promised. Not one who for Abraham's sake.